She's a girl, and you're a boy. But get it together, and make it night. You ain't gonna need any more of that. And there's love in the twisted blood, and the evil lies with the dove. And if you can't be the one you love, honey, love the one you will.
Good morning, Penguin Radio. Today is November the 5th, 2013, Tuesday morning, 11 a.m. It's looking like it is a nice day here in San Rafael, here at Dominican. And you are listening to 49ers Live with Beadle at radio.dominican.edu. And I am very excited to get this show going today. There's a lot to talk about. And people have been saying to me throughout the week, what am I going to talk about? Because there was no game this week, obviously, played. Everybody knows that the 49ers had a bye week. So they were sitting back, recovering from that win against the Jacksonville Jaguars in London last Sunday, before last. And they came off of a big win against the Jacksonville Jaguars, one of the worst teams in the NFL, but still a win. 42-10 in London. So right now the 49ers stand at 6-2, and it looks like it is looking very nice. We are halfway through the season. The 49ers sit second in the NFC West behind the Seattle Seahawks, and right now they're looking like a serious playoff contender. And it doesn't look like, since their loss against the Indianapolis Colts, that any team can beat them, and it's looking like they're unstoppable, which is a great thing. So I'm going to change things up a little bit this week. I'm going to be talking a little bit more about the history of the San Francisco 49ers franchise. I will be talking about many current events, though, throughout the hour, later in the hour. But I talked about the historical 49ers franchise a little bit at my first show, but I have gained a lot of listeners throughout the weeks. This is my sixth show, and I just wanted to introduce myself again. I am Brian Del Grande, DJ Beadle. I do live a life of two names. A lot of my friends and family do call me Beadle. It does get confusing living a life of two names. And I am enrolled in this internet radio class, which I'm able to do this one-hour show every week. And it has been so much fun getting to learn about radio and being able to go on air once a week. So going into the San Francisco 49ers franchise, where do I start? There's so much history with this team that a lot of people don't know about. And I would say the five-time Super Bowl winning San Francisco 49ers, their success pretty much started in the 1980s, the Joe Montana, Jerry Rice era. Most people above the age of, even young people know about this. It's a historic time, the team of the 80s, the team that won four Super Bowl championships in that decade, it being 81, 84, 88, and 89. It was a time that it was like the glory years for San Francisco, pretty much. Everybody was just so excited about this new 49er team at the time. Because before then, in the 70s, the 49ers weren't very successful. And then in the 80s, under Coach Bill Walsh, it started off this new team, this new franchise, and it became big, and everybody wanted to watch the San Francisco 49er team, even if you weren't a fan. And so, yeah, like I said, the 1980s was when the franchise was dubbed Team of the Decade, winning four Super Bowl championships within 9 years. So this is when the 49er dynasty pretty much took off under Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, and Ronnie Lott, a team for the books. So the 49ers have won five championships within 14 years of each other. But going back to this 1980 San Francisco 49er team, pretty much the start of the success came in the early 80s when Joe Montana became starting quarterback. One of historic game that many people probably remember from Candlestick Park would be that December 7th, 1980 game against the New Orleans Saints, the biggest comeback in San Francisco 49er history. Montana finished 24 of 36, passing for 285 yards and two touchdown tosses, including one 71-yard scoring pass to Clark. The crowd went wild, and this is when the 49ers were down by 28 points at halftime. So the team looked as though at this time it was that huge transformation, and I'll get to it later how that a lot of people in the faithful were kind of waiting for this to happen again, that 1980s switch, that change in the dynamic of the team for them to become this huge dynasty again. So the 1980s, the big success, two Super Bowl wins against the Bengals, a Super Bowl win against the Dolphins, a huge blowout Super Bowl win against the Denver Broncos. So Joe Montana was everybody's hero. And so he later left the 49ers, which was a huge loss, but it was at the end of his career. He later went to the Kansas City Chiefs to finish out his career. But then another dynasty kind of started with quarterback Steve Young. He led the 49ers in the 1990s to many NFC championship games. But the problem was with Steve Young, he couldn't come up with that big win in the NFC championship game against the Dallas Cowboys. In the early 90s, they kept losing to the Dallas Cowboys, who were also in the 90s dubbed the team of the decade. So it was kind of like Steve Young was getting all this criticism. Why can't he win the big game? Why can't he be like Joe Montana? Why can't he lead the team to another Super Bowl win? And after losing two NFC championships to the Dallas Cowboys, a third straight rematch in the 1994 season, Young was finally able to beat the Cowboys and move on to their fifth Super Bowl appearance against the San Diego Chargers in the 1994 season, which was a very big win for the San Francisco 49ers, 49-26, and they were a huge favorite in that game, which marked the last Super Bowl win for the 49ers, which was the 1994 season. So it has been a while. And since then, I have a lot to talk about. Since then, that was when the NFC had pretty much control over the NFL. I think there was just consecutive wins from the NFC in the Super Bowl. So the 49ers were favored to beat the San Diego Chargers. But so Steve Young's career continued to do very well. Never made it back to the Super Bowl. He did make it back to the playoffs a couple times. And so a huge, big, big part of Steve Young's career was that 1998 season when he took the 49ers to beat the Green Bay Packers in what is dubbed the Catch 2. The Catch 1, obviously, was in 1981 when Joe Montana threw to Dwight Clark. That's what everybody knows. But actually, in 1998, many people have dubbed it the Catch 2, where Steve Young threw to Owens for that big win in that playoff. game, which dubbed that the Catch 2. So we're at the late 90s, and Steve Young gets a concussion. So then that's after that happened, he was forced to retire, the Hall of Fame quarterback. And this, from 1999 to 2011, pretty much was kind of the downward time for San Francisco under Steve Mariucci, Dennis Erickson, Mike Singletary. The team didn't do very well in all these seasons. They only made the playoffs twice. And after Steve Mariucci was fired in 2002, Dennis Erickson took over as head coach. And this was the worst season in 2004 for the 49ers, going 2-14. Yes, they only beat one team that season, and it is will always be known as one of the worst seasons in 49er history. So after that, Erickson was immediately fired, and Mike Nolan was replaced as head coach, and Alex Smith, so we're getting pretty current here, Alex Smith was drafted first to the 49ers in 2005. A quarterback is key to any team. Everybody knows that. And Alex Smith was expected to bring the 49ers back to their glory days. Smith was coming from the University of Utah. Started out only playing 9 games in his first season with the team. He only recorded 1 touchdown and threw 11 interceptions. So at this time, the 49er faithful was very confused. What's going on here? Why isn't he performing? Why are we still one of the worst teams in the NFL? Why isn't he bringing us back to the San Francisco glory days? You know, we have the number one pick for a reason. So this is going off topic a little bit, but I wanted to stress about how when NFL starting players come into the league, it is very different from college football. A lot of players don't just come into the NFL and do well. Many people saw that with Reggie Bush. Obviously, so much success at USC. Didn't have that much success in his first few seasons in the NFL. And it just shows that when even the best college football team, this has been a debate that's gone on over time. Let's say the 2004 49ers, could they have lost to, you know, the number one ranked USC Trojans at the time? And it's, many people laugh. It's like even the best college team could never beat the worst NFL team. So it wasn't a huge shock that Alex Smith wasn't performing. In one game, he was actually booed off the field, and a "We Want Carr" chant was shouted throughout this Candlestick Park. So Mike Nolan was fired, and Mike Singletary was hired as head coach. And his motto was that you win when you play hard and you have that tough mentality. And the team didn't do any better under Singletary. So at this point, the 49ers were still looking for that coach, that quarterback, that team to bring them back to the 80s and 90s for the 49ers to get back to the Super Bowl. It still wasn't happening. Too many losing records for the team, and there was no playoff appearances still in that time frame under Singletary. His best record was 8-8. So he was fired, and when he was fired, his quote was, "You need to have a quarterback," referring to Alex Smith. So after that, this is when a huge shift occurred, and the 49ers looked like they were going nowhere in that 2010 season. It looked like they had no potential, and they hired head coach Jim Harbaugh and from Stanford University. So we, hopefully you, my listeners, know that this is the huge shift for the team, and the 49ers really stepped up their game under Coach Harbaugh, and they signed defensive end Alden Smith, a huge pickup on defense in that before that 2011 season. And before that season, the team and Harbaugh made a very controversial decision to re-sign Alex Smith to a $4.8 million contract. And obviously the team was predicted to do poor because of the re-signing of Smith. And Harbaugh got many complaints from the 49er faithful saying why would he want to put the team through another year of misery. So this was 2011, 2 years ago. And this is when the team switched to greatness, pretty much, going 13-3, I believe, from 6-10. So this was huge for the team. And Alex Smith had his best season ever with the franchise. The 49ers reached the playoffs. And that game, that playoff game, their first playoff appearance in 8 years, they were playing the, I think it was 9 years, but they were playing the New Orleans Saints in the divisional round of the playoffs. And that game was later voted NFL's best game of the year. It was a classic. And that is when the dub name Catch 3 was performed. Alex Smith throwing to Vernon Davis for the game-winning catch, the game-winning touchdown. And the 49ers later beat the New Orleans Saints in that game to move on. And they ended up losing to the Giants in the NFC Championship that season with Kyle Williams fumbling the ball. So the 49ers didn't make the Super Bowl that season. But what a turnaround for the team. You know, they didn't have a playoff appearance in so many years. They didn't have a quarterback who was performing in so many years. They didn't have a head coach that was taking them anywhere in a long time. So this was, in my opinion, such a big shift for the team this 2011 year, having Alex Smith start performing and having the 49ers a playoff contender. And obviously last season it was even better for the 49ers, obviously, because they had a Super Bowl appearance, the first one since 1994. And so in this 2012 season, a controversial decision was made that has taken the team to where they are in this season, because they are still under quarterback Kaepernick, Colin Kaepernick. And Alex Smith was actually injured last season midway through, and he was later replaced by Colin Kaepernick. And it was Coach Harbaugh's decision to keep Kaepernick starting quarterback last season and have Alex Smith not play, not start. And so Kaepernick was obviously performing very well. That's why he had the starting quarterback position. He kept that all season, and he was able to take the 49ers through the playoffs last season in a pretty impressive fashion, taking them to the Super Bowl, beating the Green Bay Packers at home, and then beating the Atlanta Falcons on the road. It was a really, really great season, and Kaepernick was able to take the team far, and that's why Harbaugh decided to put him in the starting quarterback position, because Harbaugh came out and said that he did think that Kaepernick could take the team farther than Smith could in that pressure position. So Alex Smith is not on the 49ers anymore. He is with the Kansas City Chiefs. And so I have only good things to say about him, because he did give the 49ers some good success at the end. And so he is with the Kansas City Chiefs, and they are actually undefeated right now. But going to back to the 49ers, Kaepernick had an explosive season, doing so well, having a huge season. And it was impressive, because not only could he use his arms, but he could also run the ball with his legs, and he was a very dynamic threat on the field. So he's taken that into this season and has done a pretty decent job. I'll get into that later, what he needs to improve on and what he is doing well at. But Kaepernick, the big game for him last season, his standout performance was that blowout against the Chicago Bears, 32-7. That's when he got the starting quarterback position from Harbaugh. So now, after telling my listeners about a little 49er history, it makes sense what's going on this season, what the 49ers expect from Kaepernick. Big things. They want that Joe Montana, that Steve Young. They've been looking for it for so many years. This is a historic franchise. This isn't just any normal NFL team. This is the San Francisco 49ers we're talking about. So when I come back from the break, I'll cover Kaepernick's performance this season. I'll talk about many other things. What's going on with the 49ers? Who their future opponents are? I'm going to talk about the Panthers a lot. They look pretty good right now. And there's just a lot to talk about. The Seattle Seahawks. And so when I get back, we will be talking more and more about this 2013 49er team. You're listening to 49ers Live with Beadle at radio.dominican.edu. I'll be back here shortly.
Little girl standing, looking so alone. Little girl whispered, stranger come home. Sad little eyes, so much to say. Oh, what a game little girl's playing. Must be wrong to love you like I do. It must be wrong to love you like I do. Little girl talking, casting her spell. Little girl moving, moving so well. I can't hear music, sounds so far away. I can hear voices, I know just what they say. It must be wrong to love you like I do. It must be wrong to love you like I do.
Did You Know, brought to you by Penguin Radio. Did you know our campus is patrolled 24 hours a day, including weekends and holidays, by the Barbier Security Group? This means our campus is always safe and well protected. The campus security phone number is 269-6070. The number is 269-6070, and they are available to talk to you 24 hours a day. Did You Know is brought to you by the DJs of Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu.
I am back here at 49ers Live. You're listening to Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Beadle here. So, finishing that little history of the San Francisco 49ers during this bye week.
like I said before, they are second in the NFC West Division, 6-2. Pretty impressive so far. And they are coming off a win against the Jacksonville Jaguars. But they do have a pretty worthy opponent this Sunday, the Carolina Panthers. So right now, San Francisco sits near a touchdown favorite. Two of the hottest teams in the NFL are about to meet a Week 10 showdown at Candlestick Park. These two teams are playing as well as anybody in the NFL right now, in my opinion. The 49ers, 5 consecutive wins, and the Panthers have 4 straight. Honestly, I'm worried about this Carolina team because they are coming off of 4 straight wins. But the 49ers do have the home field advantage, and it will take Carolina's weapons out of force a little bit in this game. So other teams in the NFL that are doing well to look out for are the Green Bay Packers, who have won 4 straight. I talked about the Kansas City Chiefs, 9 straight wins. Alex Smith is doing well over there. Seattle Seahawks coming off of a 4-game win streak. These teams don't quite compare to how well Carolina and San Francisco are actually doing right now. The Panthers are having a huge turnaround right now and have outscored their opponents by 80 points in the last 4 games. And the margin of victory was at least 14 in each. As for the 49ers, they are looking just as impressive though. The 49ers have done just as well, not selling my team short of anything. Still have come so far since that Week 3 loss against the Colts. They have won their last 5 games by huge margins, 24, 31, 14, 12, and 32 points, beating some bad teams, but also some decent teams as well. The Tennessee Titans and the Arizona Cardinals are pretty decent, and they have played some bad teams too. The Jacksonville Jaguars haven't won a game this season. So the 49ers do have an extra week to prepare for the Carolina Panthers from their bye week and to get ready for the game plan of Cam Newton and those Panthers coming off their 49ers week 9 bye. So the 49ers also need to find that weak spots in the Carolina's defensive attack. Carolina looks like they have some strong defense, and the 49ers need to prevent their defense from doing well and clicking on that field. Kaepernick needs to make sure that he can throw for those big passes, can make the big play in this Week 10 matchup. And I think right now it's looking like he can do that. Earlier in the season, there was so much criticism. Week 1, he had a great game against the Green Bay Packers. Everything was looking so well. And then after that, those 2 big losses against the Seahawks and the Colts. And it wasn't really Kaepernick, in my opinion. It looked like he didn't have anybody to throw to. They didn't have any 10 points of offense in those 2 games. But the injuries there's too many injuries. And a lot of the faithful was coming out and saying that. And after that big Colts loss, it looks like Kaepernick's really coming up with the big plays, converting more on third down. But that's something the 49ers do struggle with. It looks like Kaepernick's really finding Davis, and that connection looks really nice out there. Kaepernick to Davis every week. So as for the 49ers, they are, as of now, predicted as one of the top 2 teams, well, the top team in the NFC in the Super Bowl race as of now. And that was exciting for me to read about. And yeah, excited is an understatement. I am so excited to see this team, this 49er team, keep improving as the season goes on. And it looks like they do keep improving as the season continues. And why shouldn't they be getting better? Since the 2 big losses in the beginning of the season, the 49ers have outscored their opponents 174-61. That is pretty impressive to take that in. Alden Smith has been reactivated from rehab, and Crabtree is expected to return at the end of the month. So those are very big gains for the 49ers. This will help Kaepernick out a lot. So the 49ers are predicted to, as one of the top teams in the NFC, the top team to make to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. And for the AFC, it is the Broncos. They are also 6-2. I think that there are, I talked about the 49ers opponents late on other shows, but this season that the Packers and other teams like the Saints are doing very well. But in their own division, the Seahawks are the team that they need to worry about the most. So I was at work on Sunday and I was on Twitter. I didn't even think about to watch the Seattle game because Seattle was playing the 0-7 Tampa Bay Buccaneers at home. So why would I even think that I'm even close to winning this game? So ESPN tweets that there is a team beating the Seattle Seahawks at home 14-0, and yes, that is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So I immediately am shocked. I go on to watch the game a little bit and during my break, and they were up 21-0. That could not keep the Seattle Seahawks from losing. They came up big and won the game, number one seed that they had. And so the Seattle Seahawks would not have home field advantage in the playoffs. It's going to be extremely difficult for any team to go into Seattle and beat them in the playoffs when Seattle is at home. So the 49ers do have a very good shot at winning the NFC West because of this December 8th rematch game against the Seattle Seahawks. So that is still the game to look forward to. They have a lot of prep time before that to read Seattle's offense and defense. So there is still 49ers' most hated team is still the Seattle Seahawks because they are a game and a half up. But I think that Seattle's time will come. I think that they will lose a couple more games this season. They barely beat the Buccaneers at home. They barely beat the Rams on the road. It's looking like something's not going right with them. And it looks like the 49ers keep getting better. And I'm going to talk about later who's coming back. The 49ers look very healthy right now. They keep improving. They have a somewhat difficult schedule, but nothing too crazy. They have the Saints on the road, which the Saints are doing pretty well. So I would say that is one of their toughest opponents. And then they have the Washington Redskins on Monday night, which shouldn't be too difficult. So the three toughest games for the 49ers that are left would probably be that big game on December 8th against the Seahawks, Saints, and probably the Carolina Panthers next week at Candlestick, because Carolina's looking pretty good right now. So I would say those are their three toughest opponents that are left. So I predict this 49er team to go at least 10-6, because I do think that they can easily beat the Cardinals and the Rams, and they can beat the Falcons and the Buccaneers and their remaining schedule. But we're only halfway done with the season. There's still a lot more football left to play, so anything can change. But since we are midway through the season, you can start predicting things. And it looks like, yeah, Seattle is still the team to beat because they do have the best record in the NFC right now. And they still, yeah, don't lose at home. So when I come back, I'll be talking more about the San Francisco 49er team, talking about who's back, talking about the new stadium a little bit. There's still a lot more talk on 49ers Live. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu, 49ers Live with B-Dell. I'll be back here shortly. I am back here, 49ers Live, BDL. You are listening to radio.dominican.edu. So, the season is halfway over for the San Francisco 49ers. And I want to talk about midseason awards. Who is performing and who is not performing? Who looks good and who doesn't? So, obviously, I want to give the offensive MVP to an obvious choice of Frank Gore. At age 30, he's continuing to produce at a very high level and has been the team's consistent guy for rushing yards. He's the NFL's number one rushing attack, averaging 153 yards per game. San Francisco, so this 9-year veteran has been one of the team's best blockers, and he currently has 146 carries for 618 yards, 4.2 yards per game. So Gore looks very good. I think that it's so important to play this run game, and so Kaepernick has something to work with besides just the passing, and Frank Gore really is performing. It doesn't look like his age is showing at all. He keeps getting better and better with age. So Frank Gore is a very big part of the offensive attack for the San Francisco 49ers midway through the season. Hopefully he keeps performing and keeps producing a good amount of yards for the team. As for defensive MVP, Navarro Bowman has been the unit's constant attack and has been doing extremely well so far in this midway point of the season. He has been consistent, and with the absences of Patrick Willis and Alan Smith at times, he's just been doing it himself. 97 tackles, and has been one of the strongest defensive players on the team. So it's exciting to see him progress as this season continues. As for special teams, MVP, I'm going to give that to CJ Spielman. He has 11 special team tackles. So he looks like he's doing very well. And for defensive newcomer, the 49ers entered the 2013 season with two new starters on defense. Eric Reed was one of them. So he has been doing very well in his first season. He has started every game and has recorded 47 tackles. So Eric Reed looks very, very nice out there. The best offensive play looks like it's coming from a 64-yard touchdown to Vernon Davis from Colin Kaepernick against the Houston Texans on Sunday Night Football for the entire country to see. So watch out for Vernon Davis and Kaepernick. That looks like it can be a very dangerous combination throughout the season. So at this midway point, I think that, like I said, these players have been the standouts for the team. There is always things to improve on for the 49ers. I think that their defense has struggled a little bit. It hasn't been performing as well as it did last season. Last season they were known for that really strong defense. But overall, the 49ers D is still worthy of being in the top 10 overall ranking. The biggest key for the 49ers defense heading into the second half of the season is to play the secondary, and the play of their cornerbacks. They have done a good job so far in not being as much of a weak link as they were expected to be entering the season under Jim Harbaugh, but they have been burned a few times by gambling and jumping on a couple of pass routes, but more often than not, their risk-taking has resulted in them picking off several passes and playing well in general. So Eric Wright being activated onto the active roster on Monday is clear that the 49ers have settled on four cornerbacks whom they feel really confident with in playing: Carlos Rogers, Terrell Brown, and Tremaine Brock. So with them starting, it looks like the 49ers defense will play well as a unit, and the defense will continue to thrive. But they've been doing a good job so far, but they have been burned a few times by gambling and jumping on a couple of pass routes. So that's something to fix for the 49ers defense. And it's basically, can Kaepernick keep performing these big games for the team? Can he keep producing these high? Since the week 3 loss against the Colts, the 49ers have put over 30 points on every win on the board. So can he continue to win these games by such huge margins? Another thing to look out for: Aaron Rodgers' effect on the 49ers. So Aaron Rodgers is actually injured right now and may miss 3 weeks. So this will help the 49ers, because when a lot of people have said it's also very difficult to win in Green Bay, so Alex Smith being out is extremely hurtful to the Green Bay Packers, because they look like they are also peaking in the NFC as of now. So that's another thing to look out for on a side note, that the Green Bay Packers will not be performing as well, most likely, because of the absence of Aaron Rodgers. So that will take them out of the playoff mix a little bit. But still, the 49ers, their defense is, in my opinion, still ranked at one of the top 10 defenses in the league. And it looks like that defense is playoff worthy. Patrick Willis, a huge part of the defense, performing well in all his appearances so far this season, a standout player, one of the leaders of this 49ers defense. So I'm going to take another quick break. There is still so much to talk about at 49ers Live. I'm going to be talking about the new stadium a little bit, the 49ers more, what's to come in the second half of the season. So when I get back, I'll be covering that. There's still a little bit left of the show. So I'll be back here shortly. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu with B-Doll at 49ers Live. I'll be back here shortly. I'm back here at 49ers Live, bdlradio.dominican.edu. So, a little fun fact to talk about is that the 49ers will not actually play the first game being played at Levi Stadium. The San Jose Earthquakes will be playing the game, their first game at the new Levi Stadium. So the 49ers are excited to move there next season. And obviously, this is the farewell to Candlestick season. So the 49ers will be playing their last game against the Atlanta Falcons, their last regular season game. There hopefully will be a playoff game played there. They will be playing their last regular season game at Candlestick Park against the Atlanta Falcons on December 23rd. That is the big farewell to Candlestick Park, the stadium that has had so much history, so many big games played there. Obviously, big three catches from Montana to Clark, Young to Owens, Smith to Davis in those games, and so much history at Candlestick Park. So it will be sad to see it get demolished, but the 49ers are moving to Santa Clara, and they will be able to create their great historical franchise at this new Santa Clara Stadium, Levi Stadium. So going back to the 49ers, second half of the season, wide receiver Mario Manningham is back for the San Francisco 49ers and can make an immediate impact on this team. That's the hope for Coach Jim Harbaugh. And the 49ers are still looking for that reliable number two receiver for the team. Crabtree is still out, and he is hopefully going to return by the end of November. But they're still looking for that solid number two wide receiver in that wide receiver spot. As for cornerback Nnamdi Asamoah, he has been released from the 49ers. So he's out, Manningham's in, and the 49ers also activate Alden Smith. And Smith, the third-year linebacker, currently leads the team with 4.5 sacks despite not playing in his team's current 5-game winning streak. Smith, the former first-round pick for the 49ers in 2011, visited team headquarters on Wednesday and spoke with the 49ers coach Jim Harbaugh. The 49ers coach discussed the meeting on a local Bay Area radio station. Harbaugh actually didn't say when the 49ers' third-year linebacker would return to the field. I believe he suited up for practice this week, but it hasn't been stated when he will return. But Manningham will play, I believe, yeah, he will be playing against the Carolina Panthers this Sunday. So the 49ers do have some key players coming back onto the field. And with people performing well like Davis, cornerback Eric Wright is on the injured reserve list. So people are out and all the time. Hopefully the new additions will change the dynamic of the team, make them even better than they are doing now, coming off of this big 5-win win streak. So I only see good things coming from this 49ers team. There's so much more potential that they haven't even found. And yeah, they will be able to show it against the Carolina Panthers. So things to look for in this Carolina 49er game: to contain that defense of the Carolina Panthers, Kaepernick finding those go-to guys to throw to, and the 49ers being able to contain the game of Carolina's quarterback Cam Newton. So yeah, the Panthers are very, talked about this before, the Panthers are doing very well right now. They do look like they are a serious contender, and the 49ers don't want to lose any more games at home because these home games are very crucial to win. So hopefully I will be back here next week talking about a 49ers win, and hopefully they will advance to 7-2. And what another big thing to look for is to watch out for the Seattle Seahawks. Hopefully they start losing, because then the 49ers will gain some ground and win that NFC West, because the 49ers want to have home field advantage in the playoffs. That was what they had last season, and that is what got them to the Super Bowl. Well, they didn't have it in the NFC Championship game, but they did have it in the divisional round. And it's also really big to have that first round bye. So if the 49ers, which if they do win the division, they probably will have a very solid record. So it will, right now, the 49ers and the Seahawks, as record-wise, do have the top two records in the NFC. So with the Saints, so it looks like the 49ers, if they win the division, they will have that first round bye. There's still so much football left to play, so that could change. But the first round bye is huge, really big. And the 49ers, I think, really benefited from that last season, having the first round bye and able to have that host the divisional round of the playoffs. Division, winning the division is much better than getting that wild card. So hopefully the Seattle Seahawks will lose. The 49ers will keep performing. Kaepernick will keep doing so well as he is right now. The defense will continue to be the top 10 defense in the NFL. And they will continue to win games. That looks like I've covered pretty much everything that I needed to for today. The look for Manningham, he's active now. Hopefully will be a big, big addition to the team. And halfway through the season, so only 4 games left to play at Candlestick Park. It will be gone this season. Farewell to Candlestick. And yeah, hopefully the 49ers keep on winning. Be sure to listen to my colleague's show at 12 noon. I'm going to sign out because they are already in the studio. But thank you so much, everybody who tuned in and listened to 49ers Live this week. There's still so many more shows to go. Still so much football left to play. Unfortunately, there was no game to cover this week. So I will be here next week talking a lot about the Carolina Panther game and the 49ers. And hopefully we'll be back with a 49er win. Can't wait to analyze that. As for today's show, that is a wrap. Thanks so much for listening. You listen to 49ers Live with B-Doll at radio.dominican.edu. That is a wrap here. same time next week.
I've seen you smiling in the summer sun. I've seen your long hair flying when you run. I've made my mind up that it's meant to be. Someday, lady, you'll accompany me. Sound and see. You're high above me now, you're wild and free. Oh, but someday, lady, you'll accompany me. Someday, lady, you'll accompany me. Yeah. Some people say that love's a losing game. Start with fire, but you lose the flame.